Tess Eor, Friday the 9th of May, Rabbi Leibish Heller, Parshas Bahar.
Just before we start, I want to point out that this year is the Lili Nishmas, Reb Shimon Michal Tzvi, Reb Avram, the father of Reb Dudi Yedideinu, and the schusim are very large, the schusim of this year, even just by virtue of what his son achieved over here in Golders Green, should be Nisham Shab and Aliyah and Ozaina Gutabetta for Gans Kal Yisroel. They say a Maisa with the Beis Yisroel, that a Yid once came to him and said to him, Yichis. He said, you know who my father was so-and-so and such. And it was really very impressive who his father was, but the Beis Yisroel didn't make a big deal of it. So he was trying to prompt some sort of a response. So he says, Rebbe, you know that they say the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. So the Rebbe says, yes, it doesn't fall far from the tree, but sometimes the wind comes and blows it away. But in this case, even those of us who didn't know Reb Dudi's father, but by knowing the son, you know who the father was. So all the Habot Satoira that happens here should be Lilu Nishmosu. Yo, Rabbi Sai, in this week's Parsha, in the end of the Parsha, Shvi, the Parsha discusses, the Torah discusses what happens if a Yid, Rachmana Litzlan, falls so low. The simple pshat is he falls so low, b'gashmias, his funds run out and he doesn't have any means to support himself and his family. Ad kedei kach, that kisasig yad gev v'toyishav, I'm reading Pasuk Mem Zayin in Shvi, in the end of Bahar, that a ger v'toyishav, and Rashi Taishas ger v'toyishav doesn't mean what we know as a ger v'toyishav, he's a ger v'toyishav. Right, he's not a ger. He's a goy who lives in, who happens to have rights to live in Eretz Yisrael, and tzatzig yad, and he is a man of means, and umach achicha imoy, and your brother, a member of Klal Yisrael, is mach, is so poor in relation to this person, v'nimkar leger toishav imoch, and he is sold to this ger. He's sold to this ger toishav. I'm sorry, it's not a ger tzedek. It is a ger toishav. It's not a ger tzedek. It's a ger toishav. Rashi says. I would have thought that the Pasuk says Ger Vitoishev, either a Ger or a Toishev. Rashi says, no, we're talking about a Ger Toishev. So we're talking about a guy who has rights to live in Eretz Yisrael because he complies with certain requirements. And a member of Klal Yisrael was Nimkar to this guy. And the Pasuk says, Oile Eker Mishpachas Ger. Either he was sold to be a regular servant in the household of this guy, or Eker Mishpachas Ger, Zok Rashi, so Gemara and Kiddushin, that he is sold to be a mishamish to avoid the zoro. Rashi says, not chas v'shalom, that will be an oivid avoid the zoro, but that will be the particular service that is required of him. He's an evid, he has to do what he's told. So he's told to clean the area over there next to the avoid the zoro. He's the mishamish of avoid the zoro. So what does the pasuk say? Achri nimkar ge'ula ti eloi. The Torah says that we have to see to it that there should be a ge'ula ti eloi. You have to redeem him in proper means, by proper means, Rashi says, not by by scheming and wriggling things out of the way they're supposed to be, but he has to be redeemed. Echod mi echov yigolenu. One of his brothers should redeem him. Oi, doidoi. Oi, ben doidoi yigolenu. Either his brothers, or his uncle, or his cousins, ben doidoi. Oi, misher besaroi, mi mishpachtoi, or any other family member, yigolenu. Oi, if he acquires the means to redeem himself, then he should redeem himself. And the fine. How the redemption should happen. But there's a chiyuv to be poida, to be goyel, this yid. And the Torah gives a system, an order. Echov, doidoi, ben doidoi, or hisiga yodai v'nigo. And the Gemara in Kiddushin, daf chav, omed aleph, Rashi dir hakarev, says that the Seder HaDvarim over here in the Pasuk is teaching us that HaKarev Karev Koidim, that whoever is closer, whoever is more related, has a bigger Chiyuv to be Goyel this Yid. So for example, Achiv comes before Doidei, and Doidei comes before Ben Doidei. So the closer you are, the more Chiyuv you have. And Rashi says, because we see that when it comes to a steyachuzah that is sold, the pasuk doesn't say the whole regime of who should redeem him. Kiyamu chachicho mocher machuzosoi ubo goyale akarev elav v'garev esmim v'galus mim karechiv goyale akarev elav any karev But the listing of all of these people in this order is coming to tell us that over here, where he himself is old, it's not a steyachuza, so there's a chiyuv to be goyel him, and the chiyuv is chal more so on the person who is kariv than the person who is less kariv.
Why isn't he
good? Oh. Oh. Frekt, Mr. Diamond, why isn't he first? Why does the pasuk finish with oyhisigay adavinigo? He for sure has a chiyuv to redeem himself. He for sure has a chiyuv to redeem himself. He should come first. But there's another kasha, which is what I really want to address, and that is, what happened to the father? Ochiv, doidoi, ben doidoi. What's with Aviv? What's with Aviv? What happened to the father? Now, what? Or a son. Yeah, okay. A son, you could say balabatish, it's not mistabed, the son will have funds. If the father doesn't have, the son would have. Ken Zayn. But what's with the father? Now, what you're asking, that why he is last, but Mingi Kent also, you could answer balabatish, he sold himself because he's moch, he doesn't have. So in terms of time, it's less likely that he will be the first available redeemer. Because that's why he was sold. But as soon as he sold, immediately, as soon as the word gets out, maybe Achiv has money, maybe Doide has money, but he doesn't have until later. But it's not such a good teretz. Because Lamaisa, the Pasuk is trying to tell us the Chiyuv. The Tzoris Kaimim says that the Seder Advarim is trying to tell us the Chiyuv. The Chiyuv is on him first. So he should have appeared first. But what's with Aviv? Now the truth is, this Kasha of what's with Aviv, the Ramban asks, in a different parasha, Lagabi in Pinchas. Lagabi Yerusha. Just after the story of Bnei Slavchot, right, straight away afterwards, Vayakriv Moshe es Mishpotem Lifnei Hashem, and he says, Kei Bnei Slavchot Doivreis. And then it says like this: "V'bnei Yisrael tadaber lemer, ish ki yamus uvein ein loy. V'avartem es nachlosi lebitoy. If there's no son, the nachlos should go to his daughter. V'im ein loy bas, unesatem es nachlosi leechov. V'im ein loy achim, unesatem es nachlosi lachi aviv. Right? So first the daughter, then the brother, then the uncle. V'im ein achim leaviv, unesatem es nachlosi lishere akarev elov v'mishpachte. Frek the Ramban, what happened to the father? What happened to the father? The Ramban asks this kashin Pashas Pinchos. And the Ramban's loshin is, the Ramban says that ain derech, that Pasuk doesn't, speaks derech brocha yedaber, veloy b'michrosim. This idea that a person should die before his father is hepech teva abriya, it's not the way it should be. It's not the way it should be. And the Torah doesn't speak in derech michrosim. Over there we're talking about Yerusha, a person died. So the Derech HaOlam is that a person dies after his parents passed away. Right? After his parents passed away, the person passed away. So the Torah speaks with Derech HaOlam and Derech Brocha, not Derech Nichrosim. The problem with that is, that's a good shot over there where we're talking about Yerusha. Over there where we're talking about Yerusha, where somebody died, somebody was Nifter. So the Torah wants to speak Derech Brocha. Even there, Voltman Gichen Dingen, we all know the Gemara in Psachim that says, Ikem HaKosuf, so and so many words, not to say something, bederech, to speak Bederech Nekiah. Right? So, I can't hear you. No, the person died and has no sons. Ask the Ramban, maybe the person who died left the father who's still alive. His father's still alive. His father's still alive. And the halacha is, if his father's still alive, he comes before the daughters. His Yerusha comes before the daughters. If the Torah is trying to tell us the din kedima of a Yerusha, should have said, that option is also a possibility. If the father is still alive, it goes to the father. If the father is not alive, then it goes to the daughter. But the Torah doesn't mention the possibility of the father. Dr. Ramban, because it's derech nichrosim. That's a klal, it's krisus. It's not the derech ha'olam, it's not something we expect should happen. The Torah doesn't want to speak like that. Hagam, like I just mentioned, when it comes to teaching us halacha, we find that this which Chazal tells us, there's a whole, the Gemara in Psachim, whether derech tzora or derech nekiya, which one takes priority, is only discussed when it's a tzipur dvorim ba'alma. When it comes to a halacha, don't say asher einena tohira. Because when it comes to teaching halacha, that certainly takes priority over the pleasant way of speech. So if the Torah wants to tell us the halacha, it should have spoken. Is that the possibility of a father? To omit a halacha and for the sake of saying something in a nicer lashon is not such a glatik teretz. But in any case, it doesn't help us in our gemara, in our parsha, because if we're not talking about nechrosim, if a person gets sold, mechatesa, his father has to be have passed away before he gets sold. A person passed away. We want it to be at old age when he passed his father's time. But a person gets old as an eved, it can happen at early age as much as an old age. Mechates, the father shouldn't be alive. So what happened to the father? This is the kasha. And I have to confess, Rabbi Yisrael, before I go on, that I'm asking you a kasha in pshat. And in pshat, I'm sure there are many terutzim, and I'll leave it to you to research and find the terutzim. I want to just use this, it's important for him, particularly in chassidish for him, that this omission of the father is a remiss to something. So the pshat that I'm going to share with you is not in the teretz, is not in pshat, but it's in remiss or in soit. We see over here a maisa that the father is missing. Now I mentioned to you the Gemara in Kiddushin. The Gemara in Kiddushin says, Rashi brings it over here in the end of the parsha, that Parsha's Bahar is fascinatingly, very, very orderly. The whole Seder of Parsha goes min akala l'kavid, shlav after shlav, from the beginning to the end of the Parsha. The Parsha begins with the halach of Shvis and Shemitah. After that, Sheni. So that's till Sheni is Shemitah. From Sheni says kisim kuru mimkor la misecha oikonoi miyada misecha. When you have to sell something, al toimu ishes ochiv, do it in a fair way. Zokrashi, a person shouldn't have to sell his belongings. I'm not talking about a shop owner who's selling goods. He stocked up in order to sell, and he's happy to do a sale. We're talking about a person who reached a situation where he's in a misfortunate situation where he has to sell. Why did that happen? Because he was mezalzel in Hilchos Shvi'is. He took advantage of Shvi'is in a way that he shouldn't have. He was over on the halachas of Hilchos Shvi'is. Therefore, he has to sell his possessions. That is Sheni. Revi is kiyamu sachicha shlishi. Is again halachas of Shemitah. Revi is kiyamu sachicha umachar me'achuzosoi. Says the Teres Kainim Rashi, says, lo yishov, if he didn't do tshuva, then he will end up selling not only his possessions, not only his metaltum, but his land will have to be sold. That's Revi. Chamishi is not only will he sell his land, his field, right, his vineyards, but he will sell beis moishov, ish ki imkar beis moishov. So this person was over on Hilchos Shvi'is, he had to sell his property, he then had to sell his land, he now has to sell his home, that's Chamishi. And Shishi is kiyamu chachicha imach v'nim karloch. He has to sell himself. His situation spiraled to such a point where he has to sell himself as an eved. But who to? To a yid. He sells himself to another yid, which yid narachmanim, yid nabilchis, halachas, v'had have to cheat an eved ivri. Shvi is if things go even worse, and then he has to sell himself to a ger, to a goy, a ger toishav, and then the seventh level, the final level, is that he has to sell himself to be a mashamish of Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah. Not only a servant of a goy, but this particular service that the goy expects of him is not that he should clean his stables, but that he should clean his house of worship. He should be a servant in a house of worship. You can't imagine a greater golus for a yid, begashmi, subaruchmi, is that, you know, he had to give up his freedom, he has to be a servant to a goy, and do what? And facilitate their Avodah Zarah. The Geraria explains that we're not talking necessarily Dafka Yid was over on Shviz and he didn't do tshuva so things became worse, but we're talking about the trajectory, the downward path that begins with an Aveda, begins with a small Aveda and another one and another one, and the end is that a person loses control of his very self. He has no control over himself. Things go so bad that he loses his family, he loses his home, he loses his stability, he loses his freedom, he becomes a servant, until he becomes a servant to Avodah Zarah. So this is the parsha that the parsha is discussing. And at the very end, the Torah says, Geula Tiyeloi. Geula Tiyeloi. Even a person who's reached such a low point, there is Geula for such a person. And he needs other people to help him out in order to achieve this Geula. And the Torah gives us a Seder HaDvarim of who comes first and who comes last. And it's here that the Torah omits the father. The Torah leaves out the father. And that's merames to what is the Shoyrish and the Yesoid of a Yid's being over on Ratzon Hashem. How does it come to pass that a Yid, which Yisrael are ma'aminim, b'nei ma'aminim, how does it come to pass that a Yid should be over on Ratzon Hashem? What is the Shoyrish? What is the root? What lies at the very base of a chet? The end result we see. How far it can lead to, we know. But where did it begin? Where did it begin? We say in the evening, Neshama shenasati b'tahirei. A yid is born b'tahirei. A yid is born in dveikus to HaKadosh Baruch. What went wrong? Let's identify the first point, of deviance that took him away from the straight and narrow. Where did it go wrong? What did we attribute the chet to? Or the possibility of chet? So Rabbi said, we have a chazal, in which chazal tell us, Ein Odom Chayte, Elohim Kain Nichnas by Ruach Shtus. A person is not Chayte unless Nichnas by Ruach Shtus. It doesn't say that a chet is associated with Shtus. Elohim Kain means that there's no possibility for a chet without Shtus. Elohim Kain, Ein Odom Chayte. Right? It's not the possibility for chet is only allowed, is only made possible with Shtus. Shtus means folly, nonsense, stupidity. Folly, shtus.
I'm losing the word.
I'm sorry.
I lose the last word sometimes.
Yeah, fine. Shtus. So the question is, I wasn't referring to you, I was just repeating it. the idea of shtus, why is that the definition of a chet? Mecha teise that's what causes a person to be choite. Say a person is choite because he has big tivus. Because he can't control his heart. Because he's very lazy. Because he's a big balgaive. Why? Mecha teise that a chet should be the result of shtus? I mean, if you ask the psychologist to observe a person in the moment of a chet, maybe he would tell you the man is very smart. We don't have evidence that proves that a person who's more foolish is more likely to sin than a person who's more clever. Mecha teise that the root of a chet is shtus. And it could very well be that if you asked the person, if you interviewed him b'shas techet, he would answer all the right answers. He doesn't have shtus. He has all the right. He understands. He knows that this is the Ratzon Hashem. He says, "I can't help myself." Maybe his mind is too weak to control his heart, or his type is too strong for him to rein it in. Obviously, it's never too strong because we have bechira. So he's lazy. He doesn't want to act. He doesn't want to put in place his bechira. Meichet teisa that shtus is the root of everything. So Rabbi says shtus is defined as the absence of chokhmah. Shtus is the absence of chokhmah. And we have to define what is chokhmah. What is chokhmah? What is the definition of chokhmah as opposed to bina, as opposed to das, as opposed to other midas that a person has? HaKadosh Baruch Hu was matbiya in a person many different faculties and strengths. Each one serves a unique purpose. What is the specific koyach of chokhmah? How does it differ from any other part of a person's nefesh? And this is true, this can be observed, this has to be analyzed in Dvivrei Chulin, in regular day-to-day life. There's the Chochmah of a person, and there's the Bina and Das, and other aspects of a person. But what's relevant over here is mostly in Kedusha. In Kedusha, in a Yid's relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is Chochmah. And the absence of Chochmah is what leads to a Chet. If Chochmah should be present, if Chochmah should be undiluted, unperverted, uncorrupted, then a person can't be Chet. The definition of a Chet is that the shtus is takes away chokhmah. There's an absence of chokhmah. So I want to share with you very briefly a hesber which is maybe slightly philosophical, but I'm going to try to convey it the best as I can. And if you feel it's not it doesn't speak to you, then forgive me. And you all have svarim. You can open a sefer. You can think in learning. I'm just going to try to explain something. It may sound a little bit abstract, but bear with me, and maybe we can make sense of this. What is Chochmah in proportion, in relation to Bina? Rabbi Yisai, when a person wants to understand something, sometimes you have a question. You have a question. You don't know the answer to the question. You don't know the answer. You're thinking about it. You're thinking and thinking. A mathematical equation. You don't know how to resolve this problem. And you focus so intently, and the solution is not, it doesn't, you can't find the solution. And then as you're thinking, suddenly, there's a spark, there's a flash, there's a lightning in your brain. Oh, this is the answer. And the answer now appeared to you. And now you found, now you have the answer. You don't fully understand how it resolves every aspect of the question. You'll break it down later. That's going to be Bino. But the Chochmah is that lightning, that Baruch HaMavik, that flash of information that came to you. Where did it come from? There's a Koyach in the Nefesh called the Koyach HaMaskil that gives you ideas. So Chochmah came to you from this koyach ha-chochmah. That's where the knowledge came to you from. If you ask someone, who gave you this answer? Who takes credit for this answer? It's not pshat that all the thoughts that you had led to this answer, because the thoughts that you had actually were leading you in a different direction. Suddenly it came from left field. Here's the answer. So it seems to be a koyach within a person that inspires the person, that gives them information, gives them ideas, gives them insights. Bina is when you already have that raw material, the information, and you dissect it, you compartmentalize it, you make sense of it, you put it in place. That's called Bina. But Chachma, it says in Svarim, is koyach ma. It's a koyach of what? Where did it come from? You can't take credit for it. It came to you. It's not something that you have arrived at, but it's something that inspired you from above, so to speak. That is how Chochma is distinguished from Bina. It says that Chochma and Bina are compared to Av v'Eim. Chochma is an Av and Bina is an Eim. Bina is the Eim because the Vlad is, it goes through a process of 9 months of Ibur. B'mei ha'Eim. And all of the qualities of the child are developed during those 9 months. But the original material is not from the Ein. The original contribution comes from the Av. So Bina is here to take apart, to develop that which came from Chochmah. Rabbi Yisrael, if you want to use these terms, tell me if this resonates, if this makes sense. You could say that Chochmah is a part of you that is not you. It's not you. It's not from you, and it's not to your credit, and it's not due to your achievements. It's almost like a matana milamayla. Now here we have, this is if you wanted to look at Chochmah simply in you know, how the human intellect works. But when we talk about an neshama of a Yid, when we talk about the relationship of Yid with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, right? We have a Chazal say, Ein ani v'hu yecholim lodur b'modur echot. It's a very strange Chazal. Because you and I know, translated it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that I and him, referring to a haughty person, a Baal Gaiva, cannot reside in the same abode. So to speak, I have to leave when this Baal Gaiva comes along. But we know that Moloi Kol Aretz Kvoide, Es HaShemayim Besaretz Ani Moloi, Leis Asar Ponu Minei, Einoid Milvadoi. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that when a Baal Gaiva comes along, I have to back off, so to speak, Kviyochel. Why is that the case? And why Dafka about Gaiva? It doesn't say so about a Baal Taiva. It doesn't say that a person who is very indulgent and very, very lustful is Doichik Ragli Shechina. It doesn't say so. It doesn't say so about any other Midah. It says so about a Baal Gaiva. What is it about Gaiva that doesn't allow for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence? Rabbi Isai, like I mentioned, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Moloi Kol Aretz Kvoidei, Ein Oid Milvadei, there is no place, there is no dimension, there is no space, there is no level of reality that is not permeated with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. How that is reconciled with our observant, with what we see at so many other levels of reality, that's a good question. Then there are answers to it. But the fact is, Leis Asar Ponim, Moloi Kol Aretz Kvoidei, Ein Oid Milvadei, there's nothing other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi said, there's one area where HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a Yid Pchir. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a Yid Pchir. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to a Yid, you have the true freedom to choose either perspective. You have the true freedom to think in these terms or in those terms. You have the freedom to behave in these terms or in those terms. And you have the freedom to feel, because your Mayat Shalit Alev, even your emotional capacities, are subject to your ability to guide them in the right direction. So there's one place where there could be this also has to be understood and explained. But at least on paper, there could be a Chetimtze where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, is banished. And that is in a person's mind. A person's Bechira can say, I don't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. In that thought, in that consciousness, in that awareness, in that look and outlook, in that Hashkafa on the world, there is now a view that is void of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. Because that person has created a Weltanschauung that is does not include HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's not nothing. That's a perspective. That's a reality. It's a certain dimension of reality. This person's view. In that view, the person is ignoring, is denying HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why the Rambam writes, Yesoida, Yesoida is V'amud HaChochmus, the foundation of all foundations. And the Amud of all Chochmus. And chokhmah is an important word over here. The pillar of all chokhmah is leida sheyesh shem motzi rishon. You have to have a yediyah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is present. The moment that that yediyah is lacking, that moment is a moment that your experience is void of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because every other chelek abriyah doesn't have bchira. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is present in the rock, in the stone, in the world, in ways that molei kol haaretz kvaydei, whether or not we understand them, there's nothing that anything can do that would not allow HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be present everywhere at any given time. The only creature, the only place, the only possibility in the bria that can allow for HaKadosh Baruch Hu not to be present is a person in his mind, in his perspective. And the root of that is gaiva. The root of that is gaiva. Or even in a more refined way, lav dafke gaiva, the idea that I exist, the idea that I am the determinant, that I am the kiveya, that is the ani. Ein ani v'hu yecholim lader b'mader echad, because a person has bchira, and if a person is filled and obsessed with himself, to the exclusion of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, that very perspective, that very concept, that idea, entertaining that reality, that possibility in your mind, that is what is doichik rag l'shchina. But here we have a problem. I promised Reb Judy I'm going to finish on time, so I'm going to wrap this up in 35 seconds, and I hope, and if it needs elaboration, we'll do it another time. Rabbi said, there's one problem, that even when a Yid tries to be dovak in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even when a Yid tries to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even when he tries to do a mitzvah, to learn Torah, to do what he wants, at the end of the day, what's driving that person? What's driving that person is himself, his sense of self. He is trying to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That sense of self seems to be void of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. I am doing something. I am achieving something. Who is the I? If it's Ein Eid Mubadeh, how did the I come into the picture? This is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu was matbiya into a person's neshama, the chokhmah shebenefesh. When we're talking in Kedusha, we're not talking about an insight that comes to your mind. In the person's neshama, there is a reality that is the result, that there's a Kedusha, that is the result not of his achievement, not of his clamoring, not of his ability to acquire something, but the HaKadosh Baruch Hu shines into him. So the true essence of a mitzvah is not that a Yid creates a ladder where he's going to climb up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The true essence of a mitzvah is where a Yid creates a hole, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu can shine into him. He vacates himself, he makes place for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to permeate his being. Not that he is going to move up, because as much as you move up, you're moving up with yourself, you're taking that sense of self along with you. The Rishon was asked as a child, where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? A very sharp boy. He said, you know where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is? Wherever you let him in. Wherever you make space for him. And that's Chochmah Shebenefesh. And Chochmah Shebenefesh is pshat, the chelek of the neshama that's not you. Whatever you do from Chochmah down is only a means of being receptive to Chochmah, to being receptive to the Kedusha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu was matbiya in a Yid because he was bochar bonim mikol ha'amim. It's a result of his investment in us that we can have a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not our growth, not our achievement. We have to achieve and we have to grow so that we should be receptive to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ashra in a Yid. And that's the root of it all. And that's why ein adam choyt el kenich ve'iruch shtus. The shtus is the absence of Chochmah. And this is why the Av is absent in this week's parasha. Because the Av is Chochmah, and this is where it all begins. There is no Av. And this person who went down this trajectory until he reaches the point of Avodah Zarah, it all begins because there's no Av. And he needs someone else to intervene and redeem it. But Geula Tiyaloi, eventually there is a Geula, and the Av comes back because the Av is never lost. The Av, at the very most, can be in captivity, can be asleep. But it's there in a Yid regardless. Reb Dudi, it's all yours.